Good morning to you.
Good morning. I'd like to reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal, please. May it please the court, counsel. I'm Michelle Epstein. I represent the appellant, Mr. Jay Williamson, in this case. Mr. Williamson represents his wife's estate. His wife, Peggy Williamson, tripped and fell on a curb cutout just outside the entrance at the Bellevue Medical Center. The issue in the case, there's one issue for appeal. The trial court entered summary judgment in favor of the hospital, and the assignment of error is that that was error to do so. The standard of review is, as the court knows, the court must view the summary judgment evidence in a light most favorable to Mr. Williamson. And our argument here is that entering summary judgment was error because genuine disputes remain as to material facts. The case is pled under the premises liability theory set forth in the Hines versus Webster County case. There are disputes of material fact with respect to every element of proof. I'm looking at the jury instruction that comes from the Hines case. Notably here, for a moment, the setting here is Mr. and Mrs. Williamson are coming in the hospital. This is the main entrance to the hospital. It's the weekend. The hospital has decided to lock the main entrance doors to the hospital. The hospital has directed people from those doors across a path to a different door. Mr. and Mrs. Williamson are taking that path. They're going where the hospital is directing them, and they're navigating the big circle driveway that, again, is...
This is all on film, correct?
It is on film, Your Honor. Yes, there is a surveillance video that captures... I would argue that is a piece of evidence here to be considered, but yes, it is on video. Our argument, Your Honor, with respect to the disputed issues of fact is primarily one of notice in this case to the hospital. It was discovered when we issued a subpoena to some construction companies that prior to Mrs. Williamson falling on the curb that day, the hospital had requested a bid for a company to come and paint that main entrance curb yellow. At the time Mrs. Williamson fell, the curb was not painted in any way. It was not called out in any way.
Had she just stepped down that curb 12 seconds before she stepped up it and fell?
She had, Your Honor. She actually stepped down a curb. She testified that she felt, you know, that change in elevation there, moving toward one door. What happened then is a gentleman called out the door and said, "Hey, I can let you in over here." And so they turn around, and at that point, their vantage point is different. They're looking back the other direction, and we have a curb with a flared edges cut out. There's pretty good photos in the record, but those edges are not painted or called out in any way, and
what,
it appears...
What time of day was it?
It was during the day.
What's
I'm sorry,
the
I don't
weather?
Remember. Weather is sunny, clear, fine. Weather did not play a role.
Was the navigating down the step in approximately the same location as the tripping up the step?
Approximately, Your Honor. Mrs. Williamson testified that she felt a step down from a curb on the way to the other door. And again, looking back, it's just a different vantage point, and it's very hard for the eye to discern.
Was it a change? Was that point where she tripped a change in elevation or a step?
Good question. I think it's both. I think we have two issues.
Well, let me be better at the question. Then was it a change of elevation in a small area? Was it
yes,
gradual or a step?
We have two spots here. We have the slope that slopes up gradually to the curb. And Mrs. Williamson testified that she recalls stepping down from a curb. And when she's on her way back in, I would argue she's in that taper spot where it's very difficult.
She stepped, is this a fair reading of your reading of the record? She stepped down a curb, but upon the return, she moved up a flare or a gradual.
Yes, okay. I think that's fair, Your Honor.
So that would not be the same spot down as up.
Correct. A different spot, literally, okay. But we're within the same, you know, width of that
right.
area.
But they have two different characteristics.
They do. They have okay. different characteristics.
Is it your position that a curb that is not, that has no defect can be an unreasonable, can pose an unreasonable risk of harm?
Well, Your Honor, I would argue that the curb area here did have a defect. And the defect is that it had these flared sides that were not discernible, so much so that the hospital recognized that and sought it necessary to come in and have it painted before Mrs. Williamson fell. There's evidence that this was discussed in a hospital committee. Nobody can remember why or how this bid came about, but the date of the bid is 3 days before Mrs. Williamson fell.
But is there not testimony that the bid was not triggered by an incident or incidents?
There is, Your Honor. The testimony is that the hospital simply wanted to make things safer, that they looked for opportunities, I think was the word, to make their campus safer. And
does that mean it was unreasonably dangerous before?
Your Honor, I think the issue is that that's for the jury to decide here. I think the effect of what that bid meant, the knowledge that the hospital had and what that meant, should be an issue for the jury to decide and not something that should be decided as a matter of law. Whether it was unreasonably dangerous, I think the hospital, the jury could find from the evidence that the hospital knew there was an issue here, a danger here, therefore they're going to the expense of having it painted and called out. So I think that's an issue for the jury.
Presumably there are flared edges to curbs all over the state. Would you agree with that?
I would.
So are all of those unreasonably dangerous if not marked?
I think, Your Honor, I couldn't help but notice on my way here this morning, the curbs in my neighborhood are not painted. The curbs on the highway, the medians on the highway, they're painted yellow. There's a curb outside the entrance to the Capitol here that's painted white. I think you have to look at the situation in every case. The hospital, the curb here is painted yellow now, so they're not going to have that same issue, but I think there can't be an across-the-board rule of a curb being inherently dangerous. We are not asking for a ruling that flared curbs everywhere in Nebraska are dangerous. That's not reasonable.
What was it about this particular curb that made it anything less than an open and obvious situation?
Judge, the problem here is that this area was not open and obvious because of this flared situation. You can see in the photographs, admittedly you're not there in person, but you can see in the photographs that it is very difficult to see. In fact, former hospital management in his deposition, when looking at the photographs, said, "I don't see a curb here." So it is not open and obvious for that reason, that it's not obvious to the eye. I think I'm into my rebuttal time. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ms. Cheadle, good morning to you.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court, my name is Katie Cheadle and I represent the appellee, Bellevue Medical Center, in this matter. I believe based on the questions that you have asked Ms. Epstein, you all have a pretty good understanding of my argument as set forth more fully in my brief. I am here today asking this court to affirm the decision of the district court in granting summary judgment. As this court is aware, the review is de novo, which means you independently get to look at the evidence and decide even giving all reasonable inferences to appellant, whether there is still a genuine issue of material fact in this case. Appellee contends there is no genuine issue of material fact. As Ms. Epstein set forth, this is a premises liability case, and there are five elements, which are very much established in Nebraska law, that she would have to meet her burden on to prove her case and also to withstand a motion for summary judgment. At the time of hearing on the summary judgment, defendant put in ample evidence, I believe 9 exhibits, the surveillance video, which was mentioned by the court, several depositions from multiple individuals at the Bellevue Medical Center, as well as Mrs. Williamson and Mr. Williamson. We also put in affidavits from 2 separate experts that testified that this curb, which would have included the cutout, met all building codes, met all applicable codes, and therefore there was no notice that this curb was in violation of any code or statute or any regulation. The evidence also showed this curb was in good condition. There was no defect in the curb. I know that Ms. Epstein said the defect was failing to paint. I would argue that is the condition at issue. That is not in itself a defect because there is no requirement that it be painted. There was no defect. There was no chipping. There was no scaling. There was no issue with the curb. Ms. Williamson testified the sole cause of her fall was the change in elevation. So we are not here dealing with a defect in the maintenance of the curb. When we look at the elements for a premises liability case, the second element that plaintiff has to prove to be successful is demonstrating that this curb, as it was on that day, posed an unreasonable risk of which Bellevue Medical Center should have been aware. I think there's 2 things to consider with that element. First is unreasonable risk. I will agree that Ms. Epstein put into evidence information that could be argued showed this curb posed a risk, the same risk that any change in elevation poses. There was a curb, and anytime you have to navigate a curb or a stair, there is an inherent risk, and that's all that the evidence showed, was that there was a risk. The deposition testimony of Brandon Quint, he's the former one of the former directors at the Bellevue Medical Center. He is the one that initiated the investigation on painting the curbs at Bellevue Medical Center. He testified in his deposition this was done solely to try to better our campus. It was not done because there was a problem.
It was not an unreasonable risk.
Correct. It was not an unreasonable risk. And the fact that Bellevue Medical Center took steps to try to better itself, I think as a matter of public policy, should not be used against it to hold that this was an unreasonable risk. This was simply Bellevue Medical Center looking at any way it could possibly improve itself. And painting the curbs was one of many ways it looked at possibly improving its campus for safety. As the curb was that day, though, it did not present an unreasonable risk. And there was no evidence of any prior trips, falls, incidents, any difficulty navigating this curb prior to Ms. Williamson. So in and of itself, there is no evidence that was put in opposition to the evidence offered to the court on demonstrating this was not an unreasonable risk. There was no evidence to support a finding that it was an unreasonable risk. At best, it was a risk.
Go ahead.
might be the same question. Even if there was an open and obvious problem, or even if it was dangerous, what was your evidence that persons similar to the plaintiff could be expected to protect themselves against it?
Reasonable people traverse curbs every day without incident. So the fact that we had no incident before this is evidence in and of itself that this did not pose a risk to plaintiff.
Let's say it is dangerous, just for purposes of the question, right? You have some evidence that persons could be expected to protect against it.
Well, it was not obstructed, so we put into evidence Ms. Williamson's testimony. It was unobstructed from view. It was daylight, which can be seen in the surveillance video. There was nothing about this curb that distinguished it from any other curb across the state of Nebraska. Curbs are the same color concrete as the sidewalks and streets that they are on. In this case in particular, for Mrs. Williamson, it was even a higher level of awareness given that she had just walked down the curb 12 seconds before this incident. So I know that Ms. Epstein has argued that the portion she walked down from is distinguishable from the portion she later tripped on. I would contend that that is disputed in her deposition. She marked on a photograph that she step down the exact same position that she then later tripped over. Regardless, the fact that she admitted she stepped down in elevation should have put her above the normal person on notice that as you're going back towards this place, you just stepped down in elevation, you should be on heightened notice that there is a change of elevation. Whether you see it or intend to walk over a flare, she personally was aware that there was a change in elevation in the area that she was now walking. And she
how old was Mrs. Williamson, and does that have any bearing on the case at all?
I do not recollect off the top of my head exactly how old she was, but there has been no allegation made that she had any defect in vision, any defect in her gait, that put her in some special position that she should have not been treated as just a reasonable person traversing from a street to a sidewalk going over a curb.
If this court were to agree that you all carried your burden, then the burden shifted, is that right, to the plaintiff appellant?
Correct. And there is no argument that we didn't meet our burden. The sole argument is that the court erred in finding plaintiff didn't meet her burden. Appellant has not alleged BMC did not meet its burden at the time of summary judgment.
And what evidence did the plaintiff put on that persons similarly situated to Ms. Williamson would not realize the danger and protect against it?
Frankly, none. The only evidence that was put before the court was that Ms. Williamson herself had difficulty viewing the curb. There was no evidence that a reasonable person, it was simply a declaration that she had difficulty viewing the curb.
So I'm integrating my question on your burden and the burden after it shifted, if the court were to agree it shifted.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
And she, therefore, would have been obliged to put something, a material fact, in issue.
Correct. And there was no evidence that would establish a reasonable person would be unable to view this curb.
Even if dangerous?
Even if dangerous. And obviously, you understand we're contending it was not. But even if, there was no evidence to support that this curb was not open, obvious, unobstructed. In fact, the evidence is completely to the contrary. All evidence in front of the court confirmed the curb was open, obvious, unobstructed, broad daylight, 2 o'clock in the afternoon when this occurred, which the court can see for itself by viewing the surveillance video. There was nothing about this curb that changed it from any other curb out, tens of thousands of miles of curb in Nebraska. There was nothing to distinguish this curb from the standard curb that a pedestrian walking from a street to a sidewalk would expect to come into contact with and have to traverse. And in fact, in this case, the fact that she had to step down from it, that is a different analysis in Nebraska law, that for premises liability, if the lawful entrant has knowledge equal to the owner of the property of a condition. So let's, for argument's sake, say the curb was a dangerous condition. Ms. Williamson, having just walked down it, was in a position of equal knowledge that this condition existed, that this curb was unpainted, and that it was in her walking path. So she has been put on equal level of knowledge with Bellevue Medical Center, and therefore she is precluded from recovering in a premises liability action against them. So for really three reasons, plaintiff could not sustain her burden and did not offer evidence that created a genuine issue of material fact for the court to keep this case alive. There was no evidence that created a genuine issue where she could have met all five of her elements. She really loses on element two, and even if we agree it's an unreasonable risk, she cannot meet her burden on element three because it was open and obvious and because she had equal knowledge of the Bellevue Medical Center to any risk this curb posed. So the court was proper in granting summary judgment because there was no genuine issue of material fact remaining in this case.
If society as a whole follows the lead of your client and starts painting all of these things, reasonable expectations in the future may be different, mightn't they?
I would agree with that, but for as it is right now, the question is, was it reasonable on that day? And at that day and time, and still to this day and time, myself included, my curb is not painted. I walked into Shields yesterday. The curb in front of Shields is not painted. There are curbs all over the state that are unpainted. And so the reasonableness standard cannot be applied to say this curb should have been painted on this day because thousands, tens of thousands of us right now are sitting with unreasonable risks in our property if that's the case. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal?
Yes,
1 minute and 30 seconds, Ms. Epstein.
To answer your earlier question, Justice Hevigan, my client, Mrs. Williamson, was 78 years old at the time she fell. Hospital.
Does that have any relevance to the case?
I think in the sense that we have a hospital here. We don't have, this isn't every other curb in the state. This isn't a residential street. It's a hospital.
So what, where in our jurisprudence of premises liability have we ever said that particular institutions have an increased level of responsibility?
Judge, I don't find it, and I'm not asking for it. What I'm asking for is to let the jury make that decision. What is reasonable here? What a hospital may need to do at their front entrance when they've got 78-year-olds, 5-year-olds, infirm people, people in wheelchairs coming in that door, and they're inviting them in, is probably different than what I need to do outside my home or the city needs to do outside my home. The issue is the jury should make that decision, what is reasonable based on the facts in every case. Everybody at the hospital said when they were deposed, nobody could remember. Nobody could remember this letter even being received by the hospital. There's two letters. There's two letters from the company specifically says, we will mark the curb to identify the curb and hopefully eliminate trip and fall incidents. If that doesn't raise an inference from which the jury could find the hospital had notice, I don't know what would. I'm out of time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next case of the day, then, is In Re Interest of Donald B. and Devin B.